Sunday, December 28th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents tenor saxophonist, bass clarinetist, composer, and band leader, David Murray. Join us as we discuss David Murray's career, his upcoming dates at the Winter Jazz Festival, and a little B&B in Portugal. That's Sunday, December 28th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I am on the line with...
David Murray.
David Murray, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl from somewhere in Portugal.
Yeah, Sines, Portugal. The port, you know. Actually, I'm sitting looking at the Atlantic Ocean. I'm at my house in Portugal, and it's very beautiful. I just pulled up with my kids, and they just came back from surfing on the beach. Nice waves today. It's beautiful. It's going to be me and you in the sea. Sea is nice and calm today.
What's the temperature like?
It's about 65, almost 70. It's pretty much like California weather.
Which is your home?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to buy nothing in Eastern Europe, but it's better here. It's
okay. Nice.
And we have a bed and breakfast here. We sleep 13.
Are you open for business?
There. Sure, we call Zen House. Zen House is open to the public. We started, my wife and I, Valerie Marlowe, who is the head of 3D Family. We just like this place. They have a major festival here, the FMM Music Festival, and a friend of ours, Carlos Faces, he runs the festival. We came a few times, and she brought a few groups there, African groups, and she started bringing me and other people, and now... We fell in love with the city. It's a fishing village of about, maybe 15,000 people between the city and Porto Covo. And we were very good friends with the mayor, and we were able to build one story higher, and the view is fantastic. There are many fish.
How long have you been in business?
6-7 years. Took us a couple of years to build it, and it's very nice. We love it.
Tell me about the name 3D Family. Where did that come from?
Well, if you remember back, that used to be the name of my publishing company. 3D actually comes from the fact that my father had ended up with three wives and three different families, and I guess so did I. So, 3D Family seemed to be working in the Murray family. My mother passed away, and he had a wife before that, and he remarried. Very good man, Walter Murray. He was a trailblazer. He played guitar, and my mother played piano, and the Murrays are still on the move.
Yeah. Now, does your son play instruments as well?
Yes, my son Linus plays guitar. We just did a wonderful concert, and he has a thing called Black Erotica that you can go online and see Mingus Murray. He's got some great things going. He's done several videos, and we just came back from Chicago playing together with Cahill El Sabar and Nona Hendrix.
Oh, wow.
And it was very nice to play with her. It's a project we kind of started some years ago, and we came back to it. Jamila Dean Takuma was also performing with his Mark Rabot. But Mingus plays some very strong rhythm guitar, and I'm very proud of him, and I'm proud of all my kids. My 17-year-old Ruben's about to go to college, and my 13-year-old daughter was in a big motion picture that's going to come out very soon about the revolution in Tunisia. She was picked up by the director, like right off the street, said, "Oh, there's my black girl."
Okay.
I don't think they even have a real title yet, because it's being shot even now.
So you were born in Oakland?
I was born in Oakland.
Oakland, California.
Yeah, of course. I was born there, but I grew up in Berkeley. You know, that's where Kaiser Hospital, everybody's born at Kaiser. Because my father was a garbage man, and Kaiser Permanente is an insurance company that is always connected with most of the garbage men. But, actually, I'm from Berkeley.
So I suspect that music played an important role since your mother was a pianist? And your father was a guitarist?
Yeah, well, you know, we started out at Ephesians Church under Bishop Cleveland. And my mother was a pianist there. And then they created their own church with one of the assistant pastors and my father and my mother and a few of the elderly sisters. And they created the Missionary Church of God in Christ.
Oh, yeah, I had read somewhere that you were Kojic, as it were.
That's right. That's right. I still am. My brother, he plays piano in the church in Fresno right now, so he's playing for a lot of different churches. So he has to move around on Sunday.
you still have a musical relationship or try to keep a musical relationship with gospel?
Well, I can't help it. It's just part of me. It's something that you can't really move away. I wouldn't care to. Playing music from the church is a form of praying to me. Duke Kennelly said there are two kinds of people who believe and people who don't.
The blues is very much gospel music. The blues comes out of gospel music.
Well, blues is Saturday night. The gospel is Sunday morning.
Right. So you're going to be in New York for the Winter Jazz Festival.
Right.
And you have quite a number of gigs going on during those couple of nights.
Yeah. Actually, it started out, the idea itself started out being on the same night. But the way they decided to do it was to have two on the same night and then one in a different venue. I believe the Saul Williams with my quartet, with Nasheed Waits and Jimmy Mushahid and Orrin Evans, is going to be at the Poisson Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two concerts would be the day before. On the 9th, they would be at the Cherry Orchard Theater. That would be the Jerry, David, and Terry show. Jerry on, myself, and Carrington, and Trio. And then also the revival of the Clarinet Summit 2. I was asked to play with John Carter, Alvin Baptiste, and Jimmy Hamilton from the Ellington Band. They wanted me to play bass clarinet some years ago, and well, they've all passed on. So I guess that I have a right to make a revival of that group because I'm the only one alive.
Right.
So this version of it, take the opportunity to play some other great clarinetists. We want to have Don Byron, who everyone knows is so great on clarinet, and David Krakow, who I haven't actually met yet, but we've talked on the phone, and I've heard some of his music, and I know he'll fit right in. And then there's, of course, Hammett Blewett, who used to be a member with me of the World Saxophone Quartet.
Indeed.
So, in fact, he was on the gig in Chicago, so I had a chance to reunite with him, and it's going to be great. The difference between this clarinet summit and the original one that we had is the original one, we didn't use a rhythm section. But in this, we would be using part of my rhythm section, Nashi Waits on drums, mm-hmm. and Jareel Shaheed. And this would have no piano but the four clarinets.
Now, the original Clarinet Summit was in 1984, and it was conducted at the Public Theater?
Yeah, that was our first concert, yes.
Thank you.
did it come together, period? How did you wind up doing it?
Well, John Carter, I had met years before. He's one of my mentors, you know. As is Bobby Bradford at Pomona College. Bobby Bradford is still teaching me there. He's 80 years old. And Stanley Crouch was one of my professors there, English and then drama. And so that's where I met James Newton. That's where I met my great friends, Arthur Blythe, Rich Morris, and Wilbur Morris.
Yes.
And all of the California crew, you know. And we used to all play together in a group that Stanley called the Black Music Infinity. And at the time, he was a professor, and it was the time doing affirmative action, so there was a lot of black study centers at different colleges during that time. So we would always have a gig or two, play at these organized kind of settings, and sometimes they would give us a theater, and then we'd play, and it was a lot of different things. And John Carter was teaching at that time. He and Bobby was teaching at, I believe, Pasadena City College at that time, and he was teaching at another college. No, they're teachers in L.A. So he came to me with Alvin Batiste and with the idea. I mean, it was not my idea at all. In fact, I was kind of bowled over the fact that they would even choose me to play bass clarinet when I didn't think I was nowhere close to being ready for that. It's my second instrument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your primary being tenor?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't been playing bass clarinet that long when he asked me to do it. But now I have. It's different now. Yeah. Times have changed. I think I received the bass clarinet from James Newton. He gave me one as a wedding present. And that's when I started playing bass clarinet. But I had played a little clarinet before because my brother had given me his clarinet. Because when we grew up, I didn't play clarinet because he played clarinet.
And out of deference to your brother, you decided to go elsewhere.
No, well, I mean, he was really good, too.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't going to be left with him. I wasn't going to be left with him. He and my brother Ruben, he's 18 months older than me, and he always looked up to him, and, you know, no, I wasn't going to be challenged my older brother or anything.
Right.
I still don't.
Yeah.
Ruben and then my brother that plays piano in the church, his name's Donald. Okay. And then I have two sisters, Michelle and Barbara. Then I have the two older brothers, Walter Murray and Alexander.
Thank you.
So you mentioned playing with Stanley Crouch. Thinking of how Stanley Crouch is more of a critic and writer now as opposed to a musician, I know he was a drummer, and I know he wrote poetry, but what was your relationship with him? Was he a musician with you, or was he writing?
Well, he primarily is a writer. Everybody knows that. Yeah,
right.
He experimented on the drums and some very experimental kind of music.
Okay.
Sure. And he was able, as a professor, he was able to procure some jobs. And he played very much kind of in the style of Sonny Murray, some type of avant-garde kind of drumming. But actually, you know, then he began to change. I'm sure he still plays. He's always been a writer. He's always been a writer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, his book on Charlie Parker is amazing. Right now, I'm going between his book on Charlie Parker, and I just got a copy of the autobiography of Leroy Jones by Amiri Baraka. So, I mean, you know, I always liked opposing people, you know. I used to have parties at my loft, and I'd have Stanley in one corner, Miri in the other corner, Quincy Troop in the other corner, Alvin Murray in the other corner.
Wow.
Ishmael Reed in another corner.
Oh, my God.
I had to keep them all away from each other because, you know, I work with all of them. So that's their problem. You know, writers, they go for the juggler.
So you came to New York in 1975. Is that when you met Amiri and all the other writers?
Yeah. Berta Mae Grosser introduced me to Amiri. Yeah.
Okay.
And Larry Neal.
Uh-huh.
The poet, Larry Neal. Yeah,
right.
He introduced me to a lot of people. He introduced me to Charles Mingus. And a lot of people, Art Blakey, Max Roach, you know, everybody. I was always been close to the writers, you know, because I've done a lot of songs. You give me a poem, I make you a song. I've done several operas with their words, with Ishmael Reed and with Baraka.
Yeah.
I've done several plays. You know, I worked with my first wife, Aki Shange. I mean, I worked with a lot of writers, and I wanted to be a writer at some point, but I didn't have the talent, perhaps, and I always had the saxophone, so I was playing at my saxophone professionally since I was about 12, so it's second nature now. You know, I've been playing now 50 years.
It's a poem for Larry Neal and Bob Marley, two black culture workers that we lost in 1981. Whalers are we? We are whales. Don't get scared. Nothing happening but out and way out. Nothing happening but the positive, unless you the negative. Whalers, we whalers, yeah, whale, we whalers. We whale, we whale. We could dig Melville on his ship, confronting the huge white mad beast, speeding death across the sea to we. But we whalers, we can kill whales. We could get on top of a whale and whale.
And you're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar My Bowl is the name of this program. What you're listening to right now is Whalers, Amiri Baraka, David Murray, and Steve McCall. This is from Life is a Killer. It's a compilation from Giorno Poetry Systems, 1982. Before that, we heard Shout Song from Wildflowers, Loft Jazz, New York, 1976. David Murray on tenor, Oludara on trumpet, flugelhorn, Fred Hopkins on bass, and Stanley Crouch on drums. This is a 2004 Douglas Records release. It was originally recorded in 1976. And before that, we heard Sweet Lovely from the Clarinet Summit. This is In Concert at the Public Theater, Volume 1 and 2. This is an India Navigation 1991 release. It was originally recorded in 1984. Before that, we heard Imbizo. This is a David Murray composition from the Clarinet Summit, Southern Bells, 1987 Black Saint release. Before that, we heard the title cut, Morning Song, from the David Murray Quartet, 1984 Black Saint Records release. Before that, we heard Santa Barbara and Crenshaw Follies, David Murray Octet, from Home. This is a 1982 Black Saint Records release. Before that, we heard French Kiss for Valerie. This was dedicated to David Murray's wife, Valerie. And this is from the David Murray Infinity Quartet featuring Macy Gray and Gregory Porter. Be My Monster Love, a 2013 Motema Records release. And before that, we heard our theme, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, Nina Simone, from the very best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This is a 1998 RCA BMG compilation, originally recorded in 1967. Stay tuned for more Sugar in My Bowl. Coming up next is On the Bandstand, with our associate producer Hank Williams, right here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
You want to imitate this? Listen. My calling card. The dialectic of silence. The sound approach. Life one day will be filled even further with numbness in the song. But primitive place now, we wail and be kept underground. But keep it in mind. Call me something dukish, something sassy. Call me by my real name. When the world change, we wailing be in it. Help make it for real time. Call me, I call you, we call we. Say, hey, whalers, hey, whalers, hey, 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 whalers, whale on.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for December 28th. In this segment of the show, we bring you aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can experience them live. This week's guest is saxophonist David Murray. You can see him live at the 2015 Winter Jazz Fest on January 9th and 10th, and we'll give you details for that toward the end of the segment. We have the usual lineup of live music this week. For starters, pianist Harold Mayburn co-leads a sextet through January 1st at Smoke, as part of their Coltrane Festival, including a New Year's Eve show. See smokejazz.com for info. Vocalist Diane Reeves will be at Avery Fisher Hall on December 31st with the New York Philharmonic. Details are at nyphil.org. That's nyphil.org. Vocalist Dee Dee Bridgewater will be at Iridium from the 31st to January 2nd. Information is at theiridium.com. That's theiridium.com. You can ring in the new year with trombonist Craig Harris at Sister's Place in Brooklyn on New Year's Eve. Check sistersplace.org for reservations and details. Bassist Christian McBride joins Peter Bernstein's quartet on stage at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club on January 2nd through 4th. See JALC.org for details. Drummer Bobby Sanabria leads a discussion of the music of World War I era composer James Reese Europe at the Jazz Museum in Harlem on January 6th, and the event is free. Go to jazzmuseuminharlem.org for details. That's jazzmuseuminharlem, all one word, .org. Low brass specialist on tuba and trombone Joe Daly will be at Terra Blues with Hazmat Modine on January 9th. See terrablues.com for info. And the big news coming up is the 2015 Winter Jazz Fest on January 8th through 10th. Details are at winterjazzfest.com, and check out our own preview and festival coverage on our blog. Pianist Harold Mayburn will appear in their Disability Pride benefit concert on the 8th. Other Sugar guests on the lineup so far are saxophonist Oliver Lake with Trio 3 and his organ quartet, drummer Will Calhoun with Jungle Funk, harpist Brandy Younger, vocalist Catherine Russell, saxophonist David Murray, drummer J.T. Lewis with Harriet Tubman, saxophonist Billy Harper with the Cookers, and possibly more to come. Again, details are at winterjazzfest.com, and check out our own coverage on our blog. Pianist Mark Carey leads his focus trio at the Cell Theater on January 10th and 17th. And looking ahead, there's a free memorial and life celebration of late great bassist Charlie Hayden at the Town Hall on January 13th with Ruth Cameron Hayden, Pat Metheny, Brandy Younger, and many more. Details are at the Town Hall website at thetownhall.org. And looking much further ahead, it's the last call for reservations for Mohonk Mountain House's Jazz on the Mountain from January 16th to 19th with vocalist Catherine Russell and master drummer Michael Carvin. Go to wbgo.org for details and click on the events link. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, you can see the listings at the Sugar in My Bowl blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog. Tonight's playlist and audio from this and previous shows are on the site as well. And if you like what we do here, please help WBAI stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. Click on the Support WBAI link on our site to find out more. This is Hank Williams signing off with our bi-weekly schedule. We're off the airwaves next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on air on Sunday, January 11th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
Listening to WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio and online at WBAI.org.
The role of media in a democratic society should be to empower people to make decisions.
WBAI, speaking truth to power for over 50 years.
You have very few powerful media outlets that are actually doing the two things that I think are the most central aims of good journalism, which is to give voice to the voiceless and hold those in power accountable.
WBAI, your community alternative.
Yo, check this out. This is Chucky and Public Enemy number one, the rapper without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights 99.5 WBAI.
In black music, like everything else in the world, class struggle is going on. In black music is class struggle between those who want to make Afro-American music an appendage of European concert music on the one hand, and those who understand that the music is really the expression of the great majority of Afro-American working people. So we're going to do two things. First one called Class Struggle in Music, number one. Is the feeling? Who are you feeling? Are it a human? Flashes like flags waving, raving, raving. Day flashes like trees waving, Dr. Faustus craving. What is the emotion? What is its opposite? Who are it? It feeling? It understanding? A canave, a savant of the unreal, it reaching, it unteaching, it equivocating, like distant enemy marches, but yourself, like life, like yes, like distant national marches, but no self, like yourself, it, and it again, it. What is the emotion? A trembling, a drugstore, a scholarship in snow, snow, a bird, 16th notes, alterations of the negative, we are thinking, band-aids, brain damage, commerce, inner openings, trance lights, cockney killing echoes, racist drag queens, electric training, crashes, and it, a wither of jungle, a dance, a ocean and an ocean. Bilingual disputes. It. What is the emotion? It. Nigga Frankenstein's. Nigga killer scum. It and the rest of us. Somehow. Anyway. What is the emotion? Overpowering. General of all. It all. It over. That your voice could make alone atop the others. General, lyric, wafting, morning song. Not it, you. Not any other. What is the emotion? Not the colonized Mercedes in heat. Briefcases, ties, words arranged by picture window rope. Our emotion, not its. Our emotion, not its. Not the witch training. Not the denials of self and family. Not the isolated dead corpse Negro accepting the heating cup of Cortez asshole hat wearers. But the us emotion. The love emotion. The love emotion. Heat, snowball. Heat, movement, life, yeah, vitality. Emotion, the us emotion, the love emotion, the heat emotion.
I mentioned Amiri before, and I didn't really get into the fact that you worked together. How did you wind up working with Amiri?
Well, he had all these Portuguese in different universities, and I would go and play with him. And we had a trio with Steve McCall and him called New Music, New Poetry. We made a video from it. Even before that, he asked me to do the music of Primitive World, which was an anti-nuclear play of his. And we performed it for 2 weeks at Sweet Basil. Then we performed it at several colleges. Binghamton was one of them at another college. And it was all musicians. All of my musicians were actors in the play. Leroy Jenkins and Steve McCall, Janice Robinson, the trombone player. I mean, Claudine Myers. I had to kiss her all through the play.
Uh-oh.
I played mad and she played woman.
Okay.
She told me to tell a joke before I had to say my lines and mess me up. She make an ugly face and say something. She said, "You didn't say that last night. You said I was your Nefertiti." Then I had to say my lines and I'd be messed up, you know.
Oh, wow.
We had a great time. When a Baraka approached me, he gave me 17 words. And the words were like explosion, death, horror, great peace, new life, things like that.
Hmm.
And I wrote 17 songs in the script, and they all fit perfectly into the piece. And the opening was me coming out of coughing out of nowhere after some kind of nuclear blast. And my horn was all messed up in a nuclear way. And this woman comes through the door, and it's Amina. And then I was, actually, she fixes my horn, and a new horn appears like, you know, magic.
Wow.
That's how the thing started. We was out there. And it was really great.
Well, that sounds exciting. So, Verda May Grosvenor.
Vibration Cooking.
Yes. She presently seems to have more of a reputation as a great cook and a Sea Island native, fellow Sea Island native. Yes. What was her role during the time that you met her? Was she... What was she doing then? Because I also heard her associated with the Black Arts Movement.
Well, she was my girlfriend.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
And we used to go, I mean, she bring me to a house and I, you know, meet everybody, Joyce Faison and everybody, you know. She introduced me to a lot of people, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, her house was like a glass central for artists. Ed Bradley was always around. We used to go to Thanksgiving to his house in Washington. You know, they're all great friends. Marie Brown, you know, out of the old guard in New York. Not old, but people were stalwarts in New York when I came. You know, mm-hmm. I met a lot of them through her.
We'll be right back.
wind up working and meeting Butch Morris, Lawrence Butch Morris?
Well, we met in Pomona when I was at Pomona College. We met in the city of Claremont there. I remember he drove up and he was playing with the band, and he had his own kind of thing, and he drove up and he had like a VW band, and it had a lot of things that were tinkling inside of the band, you know. I mean, when the band stopped, the tinkling kept going on and on. I just thought it was kind of bizarre. I mean, him and Don Cherry, probably very eclectic type of people, both from Santa Monica and L.A., you know, just, you know, very different person, playing the cornet, not the trumpet. This is coming from another sphere. You know, I thought he was totally fascinating, and even in his death, he's still fascinating. He's one of my best friends, and his brother I played with probably more than him because he was a rhythm section player, the bass Wilbur. He was in most of my early octets and some, of course, small records of mine, and I was very close to the Morrises, and like my brothers.
You recorded on a lot of things, but I'm looking at a recording right now. It's one of the Black Saint releases. Ming?
Mm-hmm.
That was your partner, Ming?
Second wife.
You've been involved in lots of projects, theatrical performances and collaborations with urban bush women and all sorts of things. Is there a plan?
Oh, sure. It's all fun to me.
Is there a plan for you to bring some of those back? Because it's been enough time in between.
I've been doing a lot of collaboration with Ishmael Reed on his poetry and putting it into the mouths of Cassandra Wilson, Taj Mahal, and people like that. Actually, I tried my endeavor for me. I picked a poet who's been dead for 250 years, Alexander Pushkin, and I thought that I would rush her to do a lot of research on him and several times, and I thought I would be responsible for kind of reinventing a new black hero of the arts and letters in Alexander Pushkin. And I really thought that it would be a big hit on Black History Month, but we put all our feelers and didn't get one bite. So
oh, no.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that was some years ago. I had A.B. Brooks playing Alexander Pushkin, and Bongar was his great-great-grandfather that was purchased in Constantinople, Istanbul, for several bottles of rum and bought and raised by Peter the Great. So, you know, I mean, all of this history coming back, maybe just, I don't know, I thought it was going to be a hit, but we didn't, even at Lincoln Center, we didn't even get a bite. I may not be in the in crowd, but I do a lot of things.
Do you think that there are venues to where you can present these things again, or some of these new ideas?
Well, you know, we send everybody everything. Mm-hmm. Believe me. It's not that we're not offering them a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's talking about the money. So, you know, I just, you know, I'm doing my part. That's what I can say. And I'm not affected by it in a negative way. I'm continuing on what I've been doing. The last thing Barack and I did was the Sisyphus Syndrome, where we had a 20-voice Baptist choir singing communist lyrics. I mean, that's a twist. I'm just saying, we weren't letting anything hold us back. And they were particularly communist, but, you know, Morocco was a communist for sure.
Right.
But he also grew up in the church, too.
Right.
So, you know, here's a man who was constantly reinventing himself. I mean, maybe we all should at some point reinvent ourselves, you know, to see what else is out there. Most of us out here, we just keep doing the same thing over and over every time we see him with the same quartet. I don't know. I don't get tired of seeing that. I want to see something different. And me, I particularly get bored in the same kind of situation every time I appear. I like some kind of variety to wake myself up, pull the world out from under myself. It's kind of important, you know.
Well, you've certainly done a lot of different configurations of things. I actually read somewhere that you had recorded probably over 150 recordings as a leader.
That's probably about right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I also understand that you're not with Motema Records anymore.
No, we're looking into some other opportunities right now.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. There'll be something coming soon. Something with Saul Williams and my quartet.
Oh,
I'm very fond of what he's doing. You know, that's the kind of thing that I'm doing right at the moment. So we did a really great concert over in Cooley, Switzerland. You know, just made a video, and I don't know, it came off really well. Saul is a very new and challenging writer, and I actually seen Saul for the first time at Mary's funeral, and he spoke there a few words, and I didn't meet him at that time, but that was the first time I'd really heard him live, and he was very dynamic.
And he's going to be with you at the Winter Jazz Festival.
Yeah, and he sings too, you know.
Yes, yes. He was, you know, he was in that play on Broadway about Tupac.
Yes, he was actually doing the auditions when we were practicing to go to Switzerland, and he didn't want to talk too much about it because he didn't want to jinx it. I hear it didn't last too long, but, you know, a lot of black plays are great plays, and they don't last long, too.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, our community is very expensive to go and support. I mean, maybe as ethnic people in the United States, maybe we don't have that kind of continuing support that we could support a black show on Broadway for several years. You know, maybe we might have a few weeks.
Maybe it's the issue of disposable income, and sometimes it's just, you know, not knowing or not being exposed to. I'm always curious about why we don't support as much as...
Like I was saying, we probably did support it for several weeks, but...
Right.
That's a lot of money to go up to a Broadway show.
This is true.
You know, there's a lot of issues that people have to deal with financially right now.
Mm-hmm.
If another community won't support it also, it's even like jazz. I mean, sometimes I look out, I may not see my community out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the world is my community, too. But
right.
I always want to see some faces that look like mine in the audience, because it makes me feel like I'm still climbing up the right tree.
Right. You worked with Oludara at...
Oh,
point,
yeah.
The trumpeter, Oludara.
Sure, sure, sure. We did a record very early on at the new studio Riffby years ago when they did the Wildflowers. And then after that, they made a record of his that I don't think it ever came out, but we must have been in the studio for 2 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a big old production. And I think the Last Poets were also doing something in the next studio. Alan Duffus was, you know, he was spending money.
Oh, okay.
And had infinite money at that time.
Right.
But, you know, record companies don't have that kind of money now. And,
right.
You know, I have to tell you the truth as far as where I'm at. You know, I mean, I'll do some more records, but, I mean, I'm very happy. I'd be happy with my memories if it all just, you know, went up in smoke in a second. I'm very proud of what I've done.
Yeah.
My contribution to the music is, I feel very comfortable with it.
You know, I mentioned Oludara. I was wondering whether you see yourself doing something with his son, Nas.
Oh, sure. I would love to. I like to work with any of the young writers, rappers. I do some things with the Roots sometimes, and Black Thought, and I'm very proud of what he's done, and Questlove. So we work together, and we have a running relationship. Well, we did a wonderful show. We did a Black Panther project that Valerie Marlow had put together, and it was very successful. That's when we did it was with Craig Lee Porter, before it went viral. That worked out really well.
Children, about the seeds that are trying to grow. It's still about the children, about the flowers that have not been plucked. It's still about the children, about the seeds that are trying to grow. It's still about the children, about the fruit that has not been picked. The child inside of you. But you must take control of the child so the child won't hurt you. We need time to play, time to take a nap. We need a shoulder to cry on, someone who's got a back. Oh, it's still about the children, the little feet trying to fit into our shoes. Day. Each one of us pays.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web, Sugar in My Bowl. What you're listening to right now is About the Children. The words were written by Abiodun Oyewole of The Last Poets, a former Sugar guest. And this is from the Black Panther production that David Murray was talking about earlier. This is a David Murray Infinity Quartet featuring Macy Gray and Gregory Porter on this particular cut. Be My Monster Love is the name of the release. It's a 2013 Motema Records recording. Before that, we heard Jesvan from the David Murray Octet. Ming is the name of the release. This is a 1980 Black Saint Records recording. Before that, we heard Class Struggle in Music, number one. Amiri Baraka, David Murray, Steve McCall from New Music, New Poetry in 1982 India Navigation release. Stay tuned for more David Murray on Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
And I took their poems and their songs, and it was great to work with The Last Poets and putting those very serious, powerful, angry words into a song and talking about a subject that I grew right in, the Black Panther Party. You know, I was a little younger than those guys, but they were all around me.
Sure.
You know, I know Bobby real well. Very happy to have with me such great musicians. Nasheed Waits is somebody who I played with his father with M. Boomer in the World Saxophone Quartet. And just having his son there behind me, he's great. I think he's one of the best drummers in New York, and I'm very proud to have him and see what he's accomplished. You know, he sounds so, so good.
Wasn't he part of the ensemble Tar Baby?
That's one of his babies, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And they've made a great name for themselves. And, it's great to have a collective band still out there, you know, like that. But people really want to make a band.
They were part of the Vision Festival this year. I mean, it was in the summer.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, Orange sang the last song.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, on piano, yes.
I knew his father. His father was a great poet, David Evans. Oh, yeah. And then Jaribu Shahi's been playing with me. Oh, God. Even before Wilbert passed away. And, you know, he's played with Sun Ra. He's played with James Carter. He's from Detroit, you know. He's played with all those great... He plays on Ensemble Chicago, Roscoe Mitchell. And Mary Wilson, I think he played with her. So my quartet and Owen Evans, I can't say enough about him. Just good to be surrounded by people. Because, you know, I've always played with people that was always my senior.
Uh-huh. Right, yes.
So now I have the opportunity to be the oldest one, and it's I'm kind of moving into it kind of gracefully, you know. It's nice to be able to move into something like that and actually kind of spread some wisdom around if I have any, but, you know. But it's nice to see things change hands. So now I'm Mr. Murray to a lot of musicians.
Hmm.
Before I was just David.
Are you finding musicians to play with you, or the people who are with you, they come to you and you check them out, the newer musician?
I usually rely on a lot of people. Like Craig Harris has always been one of the people who helped me to tell me who's happening, who's current, who's really playing well. And then I go and check them out myself.
Okay.
It's always good. You know, through word of mouth, the musicians really know who's playing. I don't have to read Downbeat to figure that out.
Right.
I used to rely on a better source. Go out and see some music.
Right.
And listen to them. I really hire people before I work with them, but my kids help me go online, and at least you can see people play a little bit online, so...
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm not great at it, but that's what I got kids for.
So
my fingers.
So tell me, with regard to the World Saxophone Quartet, I was talking mm-hmm. to Oliver Lake a couple of weeks ago. He was our mm-hmm. guest. And he was telling us how...
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, oh yeah. And he will be at Minetta Lane the same night you're there for the Winter Jazz
great.
Festival. Yeah, he'll be right after your set. He'll be there with Trio 3. So you'll be able to say hello if you stick around
with,
a little longer.
With Reggie. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, definitely. Well, no, we're all tight still. Don't believe
yeah.
me. We'll be, as a group, we'll be 40 in 2016.
Oh. Is there plans mm-hmm. to... You've just presented a question for me. Are there plans for the anniversary?
Well, you know, one last hurrah would be a great thing. I mean, if anybody got excited about it, you know, the thing is, people have to get excited about it. Mm-hmm. I've been excited. I know he is. Blue's excited.
Uh-huh.
James Carter's excited. You know, we're all ready to go. We just don't have a party to go to.
Mm. James Carter was an exciting addition to the quartet. How was it decided?
Because he's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he grew up being the guy that was younger than us, but, you know, he was... Everybody loved James. You know, I mean, Temple couldn't say enough about him. And, you know, he studied all of us. You could hear it in his playing. And
oh,
he
yeah.
studied Blewett. He studied Hemphill. He studied myself. And now he's just matriculated. And now he's just full-blown James Carter. You know, just like when I was growing up, I had assimilated to play like or study Sonny Rollins, Coltrane, and all of the greats. Colin Hawkins, mm-hmm. Hawkins' office. But in his case, he was actually able to be around us. So he's got big ears, you know. He got a big ear, big head. Fat head. That's what they call fat head Newman, fat head, because uh-huh. he's got so many brains up there. Not because he's got a real fat head.
Right.
It's a compliment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, I hope somebody mm-hmm. comes up with a party for the World Saxophone
yeah.
Quartet.
Well,
I'm definitely excited. I'm so excited.
We'll see.
In talking to Oliver Lake and you, I've, you know, become more exposed to the music of the World Saxophone Quartet. One of them being these box sets that I understand aren't exactly a friend to the musicians who are actually the reissue of the remastered Black Saint Soul Note box sets.
Oh my God! We didn't get a dime for any of that.
Yeah, that needs to be corrected.
It's pretty terrible. I don't really have anything. It's better not to say anything. I can't figure out to say anything bad. But that's bad.
It is bad. I hope you're working on getting that corrected, because that's...
They won't even answer my lawyer's calls.
Wow.
Or respond in any way.
Okay.
So that's how bad it is.
Wow.
I mean, we have tried. It's like secret agent or something.
I wish there was something that we as listeners could do. I mean, I guess outside of, you know, haranguing them and writing. It was like Cam London Limited. That's the
maybe
name of
get, maybe get Mr. Obama to send one of those drones over there.
Okay, then.
He likes that stuff.
Oh, wow. What you're doing at the Winter Jazz Festival, is that the latest thing that's going on in the mind of David Murray? Doing the... clarinet summit and the like?
Well, we tried a lot of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing some classes with Macy Gray.
Okay.
We were in Bogota not too long ago. It was my quartet with her. And that's 2 summers ago we were in Japan with my big band.
Mm-hmm.
With Macy.
Okay.
I'm open, you know. You get a higher profile when you come up with a star to color music around.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to it. Some people come to me in that way, and they want me to make some orchestrations. I've pretty much gotten it to the point where I can come up with a project of any kind in a month's time or so. And, you know, do 10 compositions and just put my brain to work. And then, you know, then go and rehearse it and... You know, put it down. Orchestrating is kind of like my new challenge for myself. And I'm starting to get better at, big band music and writing for strings. And I do a lot of that stuff over in Europe. And I do workshops at different universities and show up, you know, send a lot of music ahead and do those kinds of things. So,
mm-hmm.
not just playing the saxophone all the time, but of course I am a saxophone player.
Right.
And eventually that's what I'm doing with the music as me in front.
Right, right.
But it's a good way to feature other young people. And they're game for it, you know. There's endless possibilities for workshops and master classes and things like that. I probably could make a career just doing that if I had.
Well, I got a question with regard to, oh, come on now. I had it a second ago. I should have written it down. See, I'm having an elder moment.
It gets worse is what I can tell you.
That's when I start to envy, you know, folks like you who are like, you know, constantly writing things musically. You know,
that's because I forgot all other stuff. Gotta keep writing. You know, some of the stuff that I wrote years ago, it all turned yellow and disintegrated. Mm. They won't even take my compositions if they're not on a computer
these days.
I'm like a dinosaur. I had to get all the... That's why I write so much music now, because I've pretty much forgotten all the old stuff. Some of the students survived, but I don't play a lot of that stuff anymore.
Do you work with computers? Do you use, like, a Final Cut Pro or some sort of editing tool?
Oh, well, I have a real good guy that does that for
me.
And I have several guys. One of them is a very good organ player. Thornton.
Thornton.
Clifford Thornton. Yeah, and Thornton, he's a great organ player in the church, and he's got a wonderful mind. I send him scores written in hand, and within a couple of days, they're back turning all up in the computer. I haven't risen to that challenge yet, no.
Oh, okay.
But I'm working on it. But he's so quick that, man, I can just pay him to do it faster, and it's done. I think more of calligraphy of writing, the way I learned to write, away from the piano, you know, just like most composers do. And the minutes I would be on the computer would be minutes taken away from me doing actual orchestration. Once all of my I's dotted and notes stand up, that stuff is it's out of my hands. I don't want to see it again until just before the rehearsal, going over the scores and then conducting it, leading the bands through it. But that kind of work is, I don't feel bad that I'm not computer savvy, but I do know a lot of people who are, and mm-hmm. that's the joy of being able to be a leader.
Hello. That's what helps.
I've always been a leader, so.
Yeah.
You know, you have to delegate to lead.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's good to have a great copyist.
The Dark Star project you did in honor of Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when it was out, there was a lot of good buzz about that. People really liked the fact that you did that. How did you feel about it?
Well, I was around them a lot during that time because we were working on that project for Satchel Paige that we were trying to get to Broadway with Bob Weir. Bob Weir's money and Taj Mahal and myself and Dede Jackson was part of it as well. He gave a lot. He was our copyist, in fact.
Oh, okay.
And then he added some things too. And Michael Nash and Kerry Williams, the writers. We got that close to Broadway. Then, I think he couldn't damn Yankees or something like that. I don't know. You know, it's a tricky business, Broadway. A lot of money was spent. And we got very close, but no cigar. But I wrote a lot of music out of that. I've played it all over the world. I get a lot of good songs from there. That I can't even play because they have to be sung by a chorus and actors. And, you know, it's like a musical. Oh, Satchel Paige.
So are you looking into finding singers and that sort of thing?
That door is closed.
Okay. Okay, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, the door's closed.
So I remembered my question, and I know that you did this ensemble. Actually, I saw you at the Winter Jazz Festival. It was probably the year before last when you were focusing on Cuban music.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the latest news about the lessened?
It's about time, you know, because I've been to Cuba about 7 or 8 times, and I've recorded 3 times there. And I'm responsible for a lot of Cubans living in Madrid right now. So I've watched Cuba grow out of things. Finally, you know, and there were many American presidents who wanted to dance with Fidel. But Fidel didn't want to dance. He wanted to demitify whoever the American president was. Even Jimmy Carter often feared to leave, you know. But finally, somebody wants to get out of that old thing of, I mean, of course, don't get me wrong, though. I mean, an embargo on the country is very strong, but it could have been, I'm glad it finally happened, but it did take so long. I know so many musicians that have had to leave Cuba. It's just going to make violence. I have a lot of friends. I even have relatives there. So, on my wife's side. So, you know, it's a great thing. And I hope to see it get better and better. Thank God for Obama for that. And for Dale's brother as well. And there are just many, many others who are under them. Not just the president and his brother. That's just so, the Communist Party is vast. There's 50 people who can run that country that are capable. I've sat in some of those meetings now. As many as possible. They don't have to be elderly. They could be some very brilliant young people there. I mean, it's a country of people that are overeducated. When Mandela was released and voted president, one of his biggest things was to Fidel.
Yeah.
Because he put troops on the ground. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Fidel's done a lot of good, but he's done a lot of bad. You could say that about just about every leader, couldn't you?
This is true. Very true.
There's blood on everybody's hands.
Unfortunately, yes.
Tricky business. I applaud Obama for standing up. Just so much opposition his way. I mean, they've agreed to disagreed with him. So now he's making moves that he couldn't make. And he had to get mad enough to make them.
Mm.
So, you know, now they're seeing the real him.
So is there anything you want to tell the WBAI listening audience before we say have a good day?
Well, just be happy is what I can say. You know, don't stress out on the small stuff. Mm. There's a lot of big things ahead.
Well, we look forward to seeing you.
Support the music.
And we look forward to supporting you as part of that music in January on the 9th and 10th of January as part of the Winter Jazz Festival.
I've got a lot of music written. All I've got to do is show up and show it to them now. I did that last week because I wanted to have a real holiday. So we're doing that now. All I have to do is practice. It's like eating breakfast, no problem.
Well, thank you for taking a pause with us to talk a little bit in between your vacation.
Okay.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing you in January.
All right. It's been a real pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar and My Bowl is the name of the program you've been listening to. And my name is Joyce Jones, and you've been hearing a conversation between me and David Murray, who will be at the Winter Jazz Festival in January. What you're listening to right now is Black Nat from David Murray. Cuban Ensemble plays Nat King Cole en Español. That's a 2011 Motema Records release. Before that, we heard Ming from the World Saxophone Quartet. That's a David Murray composition from Review. It's a 1982 Black Saint Records release. And coming up next is La Nueva Alternativa on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. We'll be back next year. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.